For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Something we can only imagine, something that can really only be grasped now by faith, the promise of a restored paradise. What was it like for our first parents before that fall into sin? It's kind of like, what will the new heaven and the new earth be like? There are limited answers to the question, although even within those limits, things are rather certain. Here we have Adam and Eve, the crown of God's creation, newly made, and bearing the image of God without any distortion, without any loss whatsoever. They are in perfect communion and fellowship with their Creator, with their God. And then in one fell swoop, in their own disobedience, in their desire to listen not to God's word, but to the lies of Satan, it's all completely destroyed. And there's something we can hardly imagine, although we know what it's like to live in that fallen world. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be studying in this entire second hour the hymn In the Shattered Bliss of Eden with its author, Pastor Stephen Starkey. You can join us 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @issuesetc. Pastor Stephen Starkey is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Bay City, Michigan, and he's author of this hymn, In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. Pastor Starkey, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, you could write a hymn about just about anything. Why write a hymn about the fall into sin?
Well, this hymn was written for the 50th anniversary of a church here in Michigan, St. Luke's Clinton Township, and they had as their anniversary theme, Christ's Blood Outpoured, and they wanted a communion hymn. And so as I reflected upon Christ's Blood Outpoured and really the reason for Christ's blood being outpoured took me all the way back to the fall, so that was really why I began with the fall.
You kind of have to start there, don't you? If you're going to explain in one hymn, several short stanzas, why Christ's blood needs to be poured out for us.
I think so. Yes, to go all the way back to the reason for which Christ came to redeem us and save us from our sin, and you really need to go back to the very reason for that redemption.
You mentioned this was originally a Lord's Supper hymn. I got to ask, and this is getting way ahead of ourselves, but I have to ask, is paradise in some sense restored to us, the fallen children of Adam and Eve, in the Lord's Supper?
I believe we receive our foretaste of paradise, and that really is, in my mind, the closest we come to our Savior in this world, where at the Lord's Supper we receive His body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins.
Every hymn has, or at least should have, biblical roots. What are the roots for this one, In the Shattered Bliss of Eden?
Well, the first opening stanzas really are Genesis 2, 3, and 4, all of the different things of the fall and their excuses before God and God clothing them with the garments of skin, and then also the fall in the sense that the result of sin with their sons there in Genesis 4, sacrificing, and then Cain killing Abel, so the effects of sin are clearly shown right away. And then sort of jump ahead to Hebrews 9 with all that, Hebrews 9 and 7, really, with all the great high priest imagery contained in the book of Hebrews. And then coming into the passion imagery, Lord's Supper imagery of Matthew 27, and then sort of jumping ahead to Revelation 7, and you can think about all of the Lamb and the splendor of heaven in the book of Revelation. And then also I took some thoughts here from Galatians 4 and also Isaiah 64 and 61.
So the general theme here is going to be of sacrifice, beginning in that first stanza with what isn't explicitly described as a sacrifice, but you've taken some homiletical license, if you will, to talk about a God clothing Adam and Eve as a sacrifice.
Right.
Explain that a little bit.
Well, the greatest, you know, sacrifice that I was going to in the hymn was Christ's blood outpoured on the cross, and then Christ's body and blood given and shed in the sacrament. But, you know, after Adam and Eve fell into sin, they attempted to clothe their own nakedness with their garments of fig leaves that they had sewn together. And God taught them very clearly that human beings are not the ones that are able to cover sin. That is something that can only be done by God. And also necessary for the covering of sin is the shedding of blood. And that first sacrifice there in the Garden of Eden already began to teach that lesson.
So before we hear this, what should we be listening for in stanza one of In the Shattered Bliss of Eden?
Just to listen for the effects of sin and what God's response was to that, to man and woman's fall.
In the shattered bliss of Eden dawned the day of sacrifice. As our primal parents shuddered, sin had caused this dreadful price. Faith embarked with this discernment. Only God can cover sin, as he took their leafy garments and he clothed their shame with skin.
In the shattered bliss of Eden dawned the day of sacrifice. As the primal parent shuddered, sin had caused this dreadful price. Faith embarked with this discernment, only God can cover sin. As he took their leafy garments and he clothed their shame with skin.
The first stanza of the hymn In the Shattered Bliss of Eden, we're talking with its author, Pastor Stephen Starkey, on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 15th. Pastor Starkey, you have this line in there, faith embarked with this discernment, only God can cover sin. That says a lot about Adam and Eve's attempt to cover their shame before God intervened, doesn't it?
I believe. And also, I believe it says something about their understanding of what was taking place. I think they understood clearly as they left the Garden of Eden that their sin had caused the necessity for this sacrifice, and that it was something that had to be done by God because they couldn't do it on their own.
They didn't die that day. A guest that we had on in a previous hour, Dr. Joel Heck, said the best translation of this, you will be doomed to die rather than you're going to die on the spot. But in order for them to be clothed in these garments of skin, there had to be a death.
Right. The death of those animals whose skins clothe Adam and Eve. And that must have been a horrible shock for them to witness and to understand that here the perfection of God's creation had been so marred by their own actions that this was the response and the result of what had taken place.
When you use that term, shattered Eden, what picture are you trying to portray of creation after the fall?
You know, I think about something that, you know, is perfect, like a perfect diamond, and the gem cutter is cutting away, but all of a sudden there's a mistake that he makes, and it's no longer perfect. It will never be perfect again. A sin did a far more, you know, far more damage to God's creation than a gem cutter cutting a gemstone. But, you know, it's no longer perfect. The bliss that they knew as the first human beings in the world was broken and shattered, never to be regained in this life.
Is there something in that bliss that we long for, that we know as we live in this fallen world, Pastor Starkey, isn't there for us but should be?
Yes, I think that that's in the core of every human being. And I think that's why when you think about all the different failed philosophical systems that look for earthly utopias and all of that, there's something, I believe, within the human heart that just longs for something better and something the way it should be, that there's the recognition even by the unbeliever that this isn't the way it should be. There's something wrong.
Someone looks around and says, well, Pastor Starkey, and we got about a minute here before our break, we live in a wonderful creation. It's beautiful. We're headed into the beautiful days of fall. And what's wrong with this creation? How would you answer that?
Oh, there is. You know, there is so much beauty even in God's fallen creation. But there's also in nature itself things that reveal creation out of control and groaning under the burden of sin. We think about all the natural disasters and things like that, too. So it is both things are present in creation. Still so much beauty in creation, but also the effects of sin are seen in creation.
When we come back, we'll hear the second stanza of In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. Days and months and years unfolding clearly showed what sin had wrought. Fallen Adam's children learning lessons fallen parents taught. All these sacrificial offerings crested as a crimson flood, patriarchs and priests atoning for their sins with cleansing blood. We'll hear that stanza and study the rest of the hymn In the Shattered Bliss of Eden with Pastor Stephen Starkey on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 15th. We are coming to you live. Pastor Starkey is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Bay City, Michigan, and he's author of this hymn, In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. I invite your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Stanza two after the break, we'll hear the entire hymn in the last 10 minutes of the program. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
For sinners only. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Looking for a church that has a small, family-like atmosphere, yet strives for excellent liturgical worship with outstanding music while focused on God's Word and sacraments? A church located in the heart of St. Louis and reaching out to the neighborhood with Jesus Christ and Him crucified? I'm Pastor John Helwig of Emmaus Lutheran Church at 2241 South Jefferson in St. Louis. I invite you to join us for Bible class Sunday mornings at 9 and worship at 10:30. Visit us on the web at emmaus-stl.org.
Days and months and years unfolding clearly showed what sin had wrought. Fallen Adam's children learning lessons fallen parents taught. All these sacrificial offerings crested as
The second stanza of the hymn, In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We're studying this hymn during this hour on this Wednesday afternoon with Pastor Stephen Starkey, the author of the hymn. Pastor Starkey, you are really biting off a lot here, because you're pretty much covering all of the Old Testament in at least one stanza here, aren't you?
Yes, it's really true. You know, when you think about the Old Testament, you read the accounts and the history there, it really is a sad story of the cycle of sin. You know, the people of God would sin, they would fall into sin, they would be led to repentance, they'd be, you know, be forgiven, fall into sin, led to repentance, and they would, you know, experience all these negative things, and you know, they learned it. They learned these sinful things from their parents, just like people today learn sinful actions from their own parents. They also, however, God's people also learned what was necessary with regards to the sacrifices that were being offered too. So the, you know, the fallen children of Adam had sort of two lessons they were learning. Lessons they really shouldn't have learned, the lessons of sin by bad example, but then also the godly lessons of what was taking place in the tabernacle, pointing forward to what would someday happen on the cross with Christ.
How important is it that we understand even today that sacrificial system of the Old Testament, tabernacle and temple, was always penultimate, never intended to be the final word?
Right. I think it just underscores the truthfulness and validity of God's word. For me, it does. To say, you know, all of what was fulfilled in the reality of the cross was already pointed to and painted ahead of time in what took place in the Old Testament, in the sacrifices that were offered, the sacrificial system, the tabernacle set up, the priestly garments, all of that, in some way, pointed people forward to something yet better yet to come. You know, they were shadows of the reality that would finally be fulfilled in Christ.
Listening in Atlanta, here's Jan. Thanks for waiting on the line, Jan.
Thank you, pastors. Pastor Starkey, I just had to call and tell you how much your hymns have blessed me. I really just am so moved and validated and strengthened by your contribution to our Lutheran service book. And
well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
I appreciate your kind words.
You have to come back on Pastor Wilkins' show and talk about the Tree of Life. That's like
I would love to do that.
Oh,
that remains my favorite text, actually.
Yeah, and I was listening all day, and Larry, a previous caller on an earlier show, said the Bible is three things: generation, degeneration, and regeneration. And you just capture that so well in, you know, the hymns. And just a question, how do we encourage the legacy of Lutheran singing for younger people, both contributing to this body of work of Lutheran music through hymns?
I think one of the best ways to do that, to encourage young people, is just to for the pastor's sake, to consciously use hymns in worship, explain hymns, or that may have a difficult word here or there. You be sure that that's the center of the worship life, and I think that maintaining a liturgical stance with the hymns is part of our heritage that we just have to pass on to the next generation, and I feel obligated and joyfully obligated to do that. And I sense in your question, too, that would be your desire in your congregation, it probably already is taking place, but that those children are learning what we have been given from previous generations.
I have a question based upon something that Jan raised there with regard to, and I have the same feelings about the Tree of Life, your hymn. Is it a theme you return to, this Garden of Eden, this as in this hymn? Because both of these almost seem to be companion hymns in some way. They have the same general thrust with different emphases.
Right. I think the Tree of Life is more specifically fall redemption. You know, the first two stanzas about the fall, the second two stanzas about the redemption and the cross as the tree of life in the world today. This one does begin with the fall again too, and takes us to redemption, but then it takes us to specifically to the fruits of the cross, Christ's body and blood in the Lord's Supper, and then that becomes the focus of this particular hymn, and also the fact, you know, the clothing with Christ's righteousness, that apart from, you know, we are naked with our sin before God until God himself comes and covers us with the garment that we need, Christ's righteousness.
That brings us to stanza 3 of the hymn, In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. What these sacrifices promised from a God who sought to bless came at last, a second Adam, priest and king of righteousness, son of God, incarnate Savior, son of man, both Christ and Lord, who in naked shame would offer on the cross his blood outpoured.
What these sacrifices promised from a God who sought to bless came at last, a second Adam, priest and king of righteousness, son of God, incarnate Savior, son of man, both Christ and Lord, who in naked shame would
the third stanza of the hymn, In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. Pastor Starkey, there's a phrase in there that I want you to explain, and that is, in naked shame. Why did you choose that?
Well, Christ being the second Adam and taking all of our sins upon himself and the sins that went all from Adam and Eve all the way to the end of the world, his nakedness on the cross, he steps in our place. He takes our place before God. And as Adam, the first Adam, was naked before God with his sin, Christ is naked with our sin. You know, he is in our place with that sin and paying its penalty.
It's a perfect bookends, kind of the naked, ashamed Adam with his own sin. And as Paul clearly teaches, the sin of all mankind, all kind of bound up in him, waiting to come out. And then Jesus naked with all that sin, but none of his own.
Right. Just so unbelievable when you stop to think about that God would himself, you know, take humanity's sin, the entire weight of that sin upon himself, and then offer his life in payment, you know, his blood outpoured on the cross for the sins of the world.
Are you in that last phrase of that stanza introducing that idea now explicitly for the stanzas to come, blood outpoured?
Right, yeah. This was, since the anniversary theme was Christ's blood outpoured, I wanted to use those words together, or at least blood outpoured. They had a visual image with this too, the lamb with the blood going into the chalice. That was the design for the anniversary, and I wanted to have those specific words in the hymn text. So here's where they enter in, and then this becomes the transition then to the Lord's Supper stanzas to come.
How important is it for you as not only a writer of hymns, but also as a student of good Christian hymnody, that the cross be explicit, as it is in this stanza, in Christian hymns?
I think that that's a real strength that Lutheran hymns have over hymns, many hymns that are being written currently, which seem to go off in so many different directions, and social justice or this cause or that cause, to try to undergird that. And really, finally, in the end, our focus needs to always be upon Christ and his cross. Not that those issues are not unimportant, but that, you know, the central issue, the wellspring of our faith, and that faith that then breaks forth into a life of works, is the cross. And we need every day, always, to return to the cross and keep that as our central focus.
Pastor Stephen Starkey is our guest. It's Wednesday afternoon, August the 15th. We're studying the hymn, In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. He is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Bay City, Michigan, and author of the hymn that we're studying. The fourth stanza we'll hear on the other side of the break. Lamb of God, once slain for sinners, host who spreads his meal divine, here you pledge our sins are covered, pledge received in bread and wine. Take and eat, this is my body, given on the cross for you. Take and drink, this cup of blessing is my blood poured out for you. A great communion hymn we're studying in this hour of Issues, Etc. Pastor Stephen Starkey is our guest. We'll hear stanza four on the other side of the break and the remaining stanzas and hear the entire hymn in the last 10 minutes. Get some final thoughts from its author, Pastor Stephen Starkey.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
An attack averted.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Abortion advocates despise pregnancy centers because they tell pregnant women the truth about abortion, and they undermine such clinics any way they can. We're happy to report that one notable effort has failed. Pro-abortion city councilmen in Baltimore passed an ordinance requiring pregnancy centers to put up signs saying they don't perform abortions and identifying where abortions are performed in the city. However, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals just declared this ordinance unconstitutional, declaring it a violation of the clinic operator's free speech rights. We applaud the court for getting this one right.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Lamb of God, once slain for sinners, host who spreads his meal divine, here you pledge our sins are covered, pledge received in bread. And deep, this is my body.
The fourth stanza of the hymn In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. We're talking about this hymn during this hour of Issues, Etc. with its author, Pastor Stephen Starkey. He is, by the way, the author of more than 175 hymn texts, and 12 of the very best are found on this great CD called We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Among them, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, which to me is hands down one of the very best Te Deums out there. We had a caller earlier from Atlanta mention the Tree of Life, O Sing of Christ, and this hymn In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. The CD is called We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, the Hymns of Stephen Starkey. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also order it from Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. And when you order, use promotion code URA, and you'll get a 10% discount. Promotion code URA. The CD is called We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. Why to the Lord's Supper, Pastor Starkey?
I suppose the basic answer, you know, would have been that was the original desire of the congregation that commissioned the hymn. They would wanted the Lord's Supper hymn. But that's really not the reason why, you know, in stanza four you come to this point. After you think about the cross in stanza three and Christ's blood outpoured on the cross to make the connection that the Lamb of God that was once slain for sinners is the same Son of God who is now the host in this holy meal that he sets before us, where he gives us his own body and blood given and shed on the cross. And those are the gifts that he offers to us, the food upon which we feed in the sacrament again and again to receive that promise and that pledge of forgiveness that was sealed by his own blood on the cross.
Is it in the Lord's Supper, and I guess we could we should add there also in the sacrament of baptism, is it in these sacraments where we are really truly clothed with Christ?
Yes. Yes, it certainly is. You know, holy baptism, when we are connected to Christ's death and resurrection and we become one of God's saints, you know, clothed with Christ's righteousness, and then we struggle as a sinner saint throughout our life with our own fallenness. And because of that ongoing struggle and connected to that struggle of guilt and shame and everything else, God has also given the sacrament of Lord's Supper to assure us again and again that of his love for us and also that our sins are truly and fully forgiven.
Why was it important in this fourth stanza for you to, you quote almost verbatim, the words of institution of the Lord's Supper?
It was just very important for me, I think, to place out there, place into the hymn these words that, as you mentioned, are almost the words of institution. From a poetical standpoint, it's really not good poetry to rhyme for you and for you. It's really not a rhyme. It's just a repetition of the words, and yet it was just necessary because that's what is in the words of institution, and I wanted to clearly lay that out in these final lines of that stanza.
Here is the fifth stanza of In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. Taste and see the bliss of heaven, known by saints around the throne, where the Lamb in closest union lives to love and feed his own. From his riven side forever flows the purest stream of love, love that robes us with the raiment worn by all who feast above.
Taste and see the bliss of heaven, known by saints around.
Fifth stanza of In the Shattered Bliss of Heaven. Pastor Starkey, I know you're talking there about the Lord's Supper, but people will say, it's just a little piece of bread. It's just a little sip of wine. How do you respond?
Well, in that little taste of bread and in that little sip of wine, you know, we are receiving not just bread and wine, but Christ's body and blood given and shed. Body and blood in with and under that bread and wine. And so it is much more than just that, you know, a little bit of bread and a little sip of wine. In that, in the Lord's Supper, we, you know, taste the very bliss and joy of heaven as we are having a foretaste of the joy and in the presence of Christ in heaven. Psalm 34, verse 8 was sort of in my mind when I wrote that opening line, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." And that's really what we do in Holy Communion. We are coming and taking refuge in our Lord and Savior, and we really see how good he is, how wonderful he is to us.
Was John's account of the crucifixion also in your mind?
Yes, very much so. And also John's words in Revelation as well, you know, the imagery of their, you know, who are these white-robed saints in heaven? They are the ones who have been made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. And that blood that flows down from the cross, that blood that was outpoured for us on the cross, given and shed on the cross, his body and blood is given to us again in the sacrament. And so it's all of those things come together, you know, in a reality that's ours every time we commune. It's that same reality is always ours.
We talk about the, or we talked earlier about the perfect communion that was enjoyed by Adam and Eve before the fall into sin. Is that perfect communion restored, as you say in that one line, "Where the Lamb in closest union," in the Lord's Supper?
You know, that union, that mystical union that the church has of Christ's body, saints in heaven, saints on earth, where we are united to Christ in holy baptism, that union that we are so, we are his body. And, you know, we are there in that close union, and as members of his body, Christ lovingly feeds us again and again and is alive forever to do that. You know, he is our Savior, ever-living Savior, who the Lamb who once was slain, you know, now alive forever, whom the saints and angels are praising in heaven.
Do you think it is that simple that God's clothing of Adam and Eve after the fall with garments of skin is done in anticipation and in promise of all of us, Adam's fallen children, being clothed in the robes of Christ's perfect righteousness?
I think that it is, you know, it is that simple, but it's also that profound. You know, that it is it's a simple truth, but it's such a profound truth that all that happened in the Garden of Eden, the fall and all that, is erased and corrected and redeemed and made right in Christ. And we know that finally on the last day, everything will be perfectly made right. Death itself will finally, you know, be defeated once and for all. But until that time, we were given these foretastes of heaven in the sacrament, the promise, you know, that is sealed by his blood shed on the cross is ours to experience again and again in the sacrament.
Here's the sixth and final stanza of In the Shattered Bliss of Eden, and we will discuss it with Pastor Starkey on the other side of the break. "Gone the bliss of Eden's garden, gone the age of sacrifice. Ours the time of grace and favor, ours the call to paradise. Ever, Lord, impress upon us, only you can cover sin. Take our worthless self-made garments, clothe our shame, and cleanse within." That's the sixth and final stanza of In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. When we come back on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 15th, we'll continue for about another 10 minutes, the remainder of this hour, with Pastor Stephen Starkey, that hymn's author. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Bay City, Michigan, and author of the hymn In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. We'll see what he has to say about the final stanza, then we'll play the entire hymn for you and get his final thoughts. It is a tremendous, tremendous way to teach the faith, isn't it? To teach the faith from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, a good, faithful, biblical Christian hymn. We'll talk more about that after this.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement. In the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues, Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support this worldwide outreach by making a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes with Pastor Stephen Starkey studying his hymn, In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. We heard the sixth and final stanza before the break, Pastor Starkey. Why do you say, gone the bliss of Eden's garden, gone the age of sacrifice?
Just to anchor us where we are in time. You know, Eden's bliss gone and shattered, washed away by the flood. This age of sacrifice came to an end when Christ died on the cross and the temple curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. That ended the age of sacrifice right there. We live in the last days, from the time from Christ's ascension to his return on the last day. And this is a time of God's grace and favor that he's poured out upon the world in his Son, Jesus Christ. And that call to paradise that the Holy Spirit from the Word of God calls us to faith, and calls us to faith in Christ as our Savior, and sets us on the road that has as its end paradise. And, you know, people try to recapture, you know, have the foolish idea that somehow we're going to have a paradise here on earth, and it's just foolish because you can never recreate what was in Eden. It was perfection, and there will be no perfection in this side of the last day.
What are we praying for in the last four lines of that sixth stanza?
I think those last four lines recognize the deeply seated fault within our human nature that somehow we are going to contribute something to our salvation. There's something that we're going to do that, you know, you know, is found favorable before God. Now, God, you really love me. Now you're really pleased with who I am. And it's just, you know, God is ever and only pleased with us in Christ as he looks at us in Christ and sees us as holy and righteous as his Son. And, you know, to try to remember that, God is the only one that can cover our sin. We can't do anything to contribute to that. We can't add anything to what Christ's completed act on the cross was on our behalf. And we still, again and again, you know, offer to God our worthless attempts, and yet he's the only one that can finally, you know, clothe our shame. He's the only one that can cleanse within, and that's what he does for us again and again.
Let's hear the entire hymn, In the Shattered Bliss of Eden.
My body given on the cross.
Pastor Starkey, if you would, your final thoughts on your hymn, In the Shattered Bliss of Eden.
You know, Todd, right now I'm reading a book called Grace Upon Grace, Spirituality for Today by the Australian Lutheran John Kleinig. It's a wonderful book, and in the very beginning of the book, he has an introduction of talking about receptive spirituality, that we stand receiving from God. We stand in that receiving posture, and all the treasures that God drops into our lap as beggars who are in need of his grace. And I think that, you know, that we experience that so clearly in the Lord's Supper, that here we are, we come with nothing but our sins, and God gives to us the treasures of heaven, gives us his Son's body and blood again and again. And what greater gift can we receive in this life?
Pastor Stephen Starkey is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Bay City, Michigan. He's author of the hymn, In the Shattered Bliss of Eden. Thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on the historic liturgy with Pastor Will Whedon talking about the Old Testament reading and the gradual. Folks, we are very proud to bring you the great hymnody of the church, past and present, here on Issues Etc., and here's a way that you can help us continue to do so. It's called Thrivent Choice for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. All you need to do is designate some of your charitable dollars through Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, through their Thrivent Choice program, to Lutheran Public Radio, and thereby you support Issues Etc. Lutheran Public Radio produces Issues Etc. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click Donate, click on the Thrivent logo, and there you'll see very easily how to designate your charitable dollars through Thrivent Choice to support Issues Etc. Remember to enter Lutheran Public Radio, and thanks in advance for doing so. We are always, whether we believe it or not, whether we know it or not, we are always beggars before God. That was very clear to Adam and Eve when they were found in their sin by God, with their meager clothing, trying to cover the shame of their sin. Only God can cover sin. And he did that day. And he promised he would ultimately, through the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And Scripture makes it quite clear that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, all of us, from Adam all the way down to us, and every sinner, whoever has or will live. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and clothes us with his perfect righteousness before God. And this is all received not because we deserve it. We deserve it no more than Adam and Eve did after their first sin. We receive it as beggars, and what God gives to us beggars is nothing short of the full riches of his Son's righteousness in Christ Jesus. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.